Lowering expectations in Germany, rosy numbers out of China, what's the world economy to do? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Germany revised its predicted 2019 economic growth down to just 0.5%. That is the second time in 3 months that it's lowered expectations. Meanwhile, China's reporting better than expected growth in GDP and retail sales and industrial output. So let's figure out how to make sense of all of this with Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just 0.5% growth in Germany in 2019. Should we be concerned about that?
The market is largely going to look through that. And the German growth has been coming down in the estimates, but at the same time, we're seeing an acknowledgement of a weakness in that European economy by the ECB, the European Central Bank. And so the U.S. market is becoming used to this supportive commentary from the ECB that they'll be there to support that European economy, helping out on the interest rates, not raising rates. And I think that's become part of the baked-in expected results as it comes into forward estimates for companies.
Well, okay. And then meanwhile, over in China, we hear GDP growth in the first quarter was 6.4% year over year, which is higher than people expected. What do we make of that?
The opposite side of the coin. So we are starting to see the impact of the Chinese government stimulus that started over a year ago. And we saw that in the better than expected numbers today. I think that's all also going to provide an offset any weakness in Europe. That's going to provide a lift for the market and some confidence in that assumption that China's going to get back on track.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Odds are pretty good that your job has an employee wellness program. Most companies do. That's where workers get incentives to do things like track their steps online or join fitness challenges. Companies pay a lot of money for these programs. It's become an $8 billion industry, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. But a new study in the medical journal JAMA found that these programs are not all that effective. Marketplace's Renata Sego has been looking into this. Hi, Renata.
Hey.
So the idea is that these plans will help workers get healthy, lower insurance costs, even be more productive at work. What does this study actually say about them?
This study looked at 33,000 employees at the big box wholesaler BJ's for a year and a half. Researchers found that employees in the wellness program did exercise more, but the program did not help them reduce healthcare costs or lower blood pressure and sugar levels. The medical journal here did note that looking at these programs over a longer period of time may help researchers learn more, but the study does echo what some other people have found. Damon Jones, for example, he teaches economics at the University of Chicago and told me these programs have cost to employees, literally.
You could be having, you know, an otherwise lower take-home pay because some of the company's funds are going towards a wellness program.
And there are also privacy concerns, right, about how some programs collect worker health data.
Right. The AARP sued the federal government and won in 2016, arguing these programs may violate anti-discrimination laws because of how data may be used.
Marketplace's Renata Sego, thank you.
Thank you.
Appearances matter in business. Companies spend a lot of money on design, right down to the font of a business name or logo. Right now, you might notice a lot of logos are going for a minimalist look in their fonts, and there is a reason for that. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Juliette Cesar lives in Greenwich Village, across the street from a restaurant called the Village Den. It was a Greasy Spoon. Then last year, it sold. Both inside and out got a redesign.
What was interesting when the sign started going up, even though the name was the same, you had a very different sensibility about the type.
Cesar knows typeface. She's a professor at the Parsons School of Design. As we look at the new sign, she says the lean white lettering, widely spaced, it's like lots of fonts you see these days on packaging and websites, particularly at startups. And companies are betting their customers may be drawn to a familiar look.
You look at something and it reminds you of something else, and so you decide to trust it because it reminds you of something else that you trust.
But the reason clean fonts became so popular isn't just a trend towards simplicity. Armin Witt is co-founder of graphic design firm Under Consideration. He says more embellished fonts don't show up well in digital form, especially on tiny screens.
Those types of fonts, when you reduce them, they reduce really bad and they start to look weird and jaggedy.
So in came a host of pared-down fonts brands could use on their physical signage and online. A company buying a font can pay the designer a licensing fee starting at a few hundred bucks, or it can commission a type designer like Tobias Frere Jones to create a typeface from scratch.
And fine-tune the relationships of weights and curves and spacing and all of those things that you shouldn't be aware of once they're done correctly.
That kind of engagement can cost at least $100,000 more, depending on how many languages he's designing characters for. Frere Jones says, sure, some clients want a version of the popular minimalist look, but trends pass.
We would advise them to keep a longer view of what they're investing in.
Because when a company rebrands, that look could be there for years, even decades. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There's drama a-brewin' in Mergerville. T-Mobile and Sprint plan to merge, which would bring the number of national U.S. wireless companies down to just two. But the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Justice Department is not looking favorably on that deal. Fox Business is reporting, meanwhile, that T-Mobile and Sprint aren't aware of any concerns. A little awkward. Regulators are expected to say within weeks whether they're going to let the deal go forward. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.